It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Book bans and challenges at public schools are on the rise across the country. A recent report from PEN America found that Wisconsin was the second leading state in the number of book removals last school year.
And a new investigation from Wisconsin Watch found that more than 100 Wisconsin school districts have fielded requests to remove books over the past 4 years.
School administrators and librarians say they're feeling the strain of this surge in book banning efforts. One out of every three teachers in Wisconsin, which includes librarians, is likely to leave the profession within 5 years. That's according to a workforce analysis report from last year. Taslin Magnuson is a program consultant with Freedom to Read at PEN America, where she researches and tracks book challenges in K-12 libraries. Taslin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Now, the organization you work with, PEN America, found that, at least by one measure, Wisconsin was the second leading state for the number of book bans in school libraries last year. What are we seeing there? Why are we seeing that happening in Wisconsin?
We are actually seeing it. What's happening in Wisconsin mirrors what's happening across the country. In Wisconsin, a large portion of the total for last year was driven by one district, which had one mom challenge over 400 titles that were pulled off the shelf for 3 to 4 months while the school reviewed them all, and eventually a lot of them went back on the shelves, but kids were without books for 3 to 4 months.
I want to dig more into that point. People might hear, oh, we're seeing more books challenged or removed from shelves or whatever, and might think there's a lot of people in a lot of districts challenging a book here and there. It seems like at least many of these, including that example you just mentioned, it's kind of a in bulk, if you will, a lot of books being challenged by one or two people at a time.
Yes, one or two people can make a huge difference. There are smaller challenges across Wisconsin. A lot of it's happening in public libraries, but yes, bulk challenges and a few people are really pushing this crisis.
A crisis, you said. How much do you worry when you see books removed either temporarily or permanently from a school library?
I think it's important to remember when we're talking about kids in school libraries, like the difference of a month in the time of learning and capabilities of a kid is huge. So we might think for ourselves, having reduced access for a month to a book is fine. We can wait on the hold lines at libraries. That's no problem. But for a kid, the acceleration and the need for that book at that time is brief. And so when we pull tons of books off shelves to review them, we're keeping them out of the hands of kids who really need them at that moment in time. And 3 months later, they may not need that book.
What kind of books do we tend to see getting challenged in schools?
So at PEN America, we found that a vast majority of the books under fire across the country are books about LGBTQ voices and BIPOC voices. It is a disproportionate amount, the total amount published, and it is devastating to the authors and devastating to the small publishers of many of those titles.
Is there an argument to be made that, you know, there might be books with some material that for a particular age group shouldn't be there, and the community should have a venue to bring that up and say, hey, maybe this particular book isn't ready for kids at this level?
I'm really glad you asked me that, because there is that process already in place. In nearly every single school district across the state of Wisconsin, they have a challenge policy. And they are, any parent, and I've used it myself for my own daughter, can request an alternative assignment, can talk with the librarian or talk with the school principal about the books that are available to their students. It's when we want to extend that to across multiple families based on one parent's feelings that it gets really difficult. And librarians are best equipped with the school system and with the superintendents and the educators to really assess what books should be available to kids in conversation with their community. That's why we have board meetings. That's why you have the opportunity to have conversations with board members and attend school board meetings and sort of weigh in as a community.
Now, when I hear these talked about publicly, people challenging these books will often, you know, pull a particular excerpt that on its own may sound, for example, sexually explicit. You've said elsewhere, we need to look at the context that these are occurring in. What kind of things do you hope people keep in mind?
I think it's really important to read the entirety of a book. There is sexual content in some of the titles that have been challenged. That's absolutely true. But these are titles that are YA, so really designed for 14 to 18-year-olds, and written specifically for them. And sexual content can be appropriate. But it's in the context of a plot. It's in the context of education. It's in the context of what's happening in that particular story.
What do you hear from school librarians themselves about the apparent uptick in book challenges?
It's funny. When I started doing this, I just was doing it because it was something that was helping friends of mine and supporting their work. But I started to put out my spreadsheet online, and librarians started to talk to me, and they said, I didn't know this was happening elsewhere. I didn't know that I wasn't alone. People are, they would call me and they would cry. Sometimes they would cry a lot because they had no place to turn. They felt overwhelmed. They felt demonized. They still do. I've talked to so many librarians who've been doxxed, who've been attacked by community members that they've been a part of this community for 20 years, and they're called groomers or sexual predators. And it's utterly devastating for them.
In talking to school librarians, have you gotten words of advice for others who might be facing these bulk challenges in particular that go beyond that regular challenge process?
Yeah, they've, as I've talked to lots of librarians, they've come down with sort of some key pieces of advice. Number one, like once the challenges come, there's no way through but through. So following your policies and procedures, working with your admin team, working with your school board, and talking about the importance of reading books in their full context and evaluating them according to established procedures, that is the best route. It takes time. It's really hard. But when you do that and you work through that, not only does the right answer for the community come through because everybody's participated in the conversation, but usually the community gets a better look into what goes into picking books for a school library. So then the other thing that they say is that to remain calm, that there's lots of name calling that can happen. There's lots of heightened emotional experiences. And the very best thing that you can do is prepare yourself for some people who are going to be really upset and just listen. Be calm and clear and consistent that you're an educator, you're a professional, and here are the established policies and procedures for that librarians follow to go through these questions.
It sounds like transparency is part of the story then, that showing here's what we do with your challenge, here's the process we go through, here's how these decisions are made, just having that be as public-facing as possible?
Yeah, I worked with a Western Wisconsin district last year, and they had a very tense situation where there were a number of very upset parents. And they, I was like, you know, the very best thing you can do right now is put a schedule online. And so create a schedule of the book challenges, when you expect to have them heard, and schedule it out. I said, remind everybody that librarians and educators have jobs outside of responding to mass challenges. So schedule it out as far as that you need to go. And I think she scheduled it out through the end of 2025. And it's not that things didn't stop happening in that district, but it took the temperature down. And I think that's really an important lesson, that providing all the information, people are very worried. Like, a lot of these complaints and concerns come from a place of real fear and worry for one's kids. And the very best thing that you can do is remember that these are also worried parents who need support. And so policies and procedures exist for a reason. And librarians that follow them, as hard as that is, and work with their admin team to do that, and don't respond to like the drama of it all, they get through the crisis in their district.
Talking to Taslin Magnuson, Wisconsin-based program consultant for PEN America, about book challenges, book removals, temporary or permanent, at K through 12 school libraries. Taslin, let's flip things around now to that parent. They see something or hear about something in a book. They find out it is, in fact, at their school library. They think it's not appropriate for their kid, kids of that age in general. They want to bring this forward. They don't feel like they're the bad guy here. What would you recommend for them to take that, again, without raising the temperature, but to raise their concerns and have them addressed?
Well, the first thing I would suggest is I would have a conversation either with that classroom teacher where that book might be, or have a conversation with their librarian. What I hear from so many librarians is that nobody's talking to them. They're going right to sort of these public comment periods at school board meetings. And librarians would love to talk to you about their processes for collecting material for schools. And then from there, you can also file formal reconsideration if you feel like you haven't gotten the right response, or what feels right to you from the librarian informal conversation, you can move to a reconsideration. And there's a policy and a procedure that's set out. Usually it's in your board policy manual that will explain how this works. And then just be prepared that it will take time, because reviewing a book that has been in the school library takes, you know, anywhere from several weeks to sometimes a month or two for a committee of community members and educators to gather together and talk about the book and what's the pros and the cons of it being as a part of the collection.
You co-wrote a piece for PEN America looking at some of the political background behind these challenges and the parental rights movement, it's called, in Wisconsin and elsewhere. What have we been seeing when it comes to this idea of parental rights, when it comes to these book challenges in the state?
So a lot of times parental rights mean some parents, but not all parents. And it's difficult because it's all tied up with parents who, like I said, have a really deep, legitimate concern for their kids. But we also see funding by different political parties. We see lists created at a national and then sometimes a local level sent to politicians. And they usually include some of those excerpts that you talked about that are the sexually explicit possible content from different titles. And so we see activation around the idea of parental rights, but it's not all parents. For example, like I for sure would love a diverse and inclusive collection of literature and LGBTQ voices to be in my town and my school library. And I want to be heard just as much as the parent who is worried about having that material for their kid. And so I really feel like the parental rights movement is sort of in a disguise for other cultural war issues that we have going on across the country.
And for that parent in a community where they're seeing other parents challenge books that they think should be included in the schools, that they think kids should have access to, do you have thoughts on how they can advocate, again, without necessarily raising that temperature of the argument?
I think the first thing that they want to do is make sure that their librarians and their school administrators know how much they appreciate the diverse collections that they might have already. Like many librarians have worked really hard across the state of Wisconsin to shape their collections that serve kids who are going to go out into a diverse world. And they've done an amazing job with the resources and the experiences that they have. So thank them for the collections that exist. Tell them how much they matter to you. And then if you have something starting to blow up in your community, remember that most people don't like book bans. Most people don't like what's happening. And your very best answer is to speak up at a school board meeting. And you don't need to answer any of the explicit readings or any of the other things that are happening. You just need to talk about why public education and why your school library matters to your family. And what we're trying to do when we do that is take the temperature down a little bit and remind everyone that there are parents who are across the spectrum politically, across the spectrum culturally, and that you're there and you're standing in support of your public schools.
Are you in touch with the authors themselves whose books are frequently challenged?
I am. I started this whole process not because I'm not a librarian. I usually say that much earlier in a conversation, but I'm not a librarian and I'm not an educator. I am actually have a MFA in writing for children and young adults. And so I came at this because I was seeing my friends talk about this and I was seeing people that I knew and people, authors that I had learned about. And they, Lori Hall Sanderson, who wrote Speak, she said, I'm getting banned a lot more than usual in 2021. And she said, someone should keep track. And I was like, well, Lori Hall Sanderson asked, I can do that. I know how to use a Google spreadsheet. And so that's how I got started in doing it. And so I gradually learned that most authors don't know when they're banned unless they are contacted by students or teachers or parents in the district in which they're being challenged, because they wouldn't have any reason to know. And so what they were also experiencing was a widespread request by folks to come help them, come help save their books. And authors are doing amazing things, and they've created an organization called Authors Against Book Bans that is doing great work in supporting communities across the country.
Now, here we are in a presidential election year. You're still tracking book challenges, book bans. What do you have your eye on as we go into another school year with a lot of politics out there?
Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to get any easier. We have a little bit more to go here. This is an issue that's like a match in a community. Once it starts, it sort of lights a lot of things on fire and it takes a little while to calm down. And I expect that to continue. I mean, luckily, I think more and more folks across Wisconsin are getting engaged and involved in their local school boards. And so they're coming and they're listening to the school board work, which is extensive across every community.
Taslin, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Taslin Magnuson is a program consultant with Freedom to Read at PEN America. Has this been an issue in your community? Want to hear from you, whether you're involved as an educator, a parent, a student, school board member, community member. Have you gotten involved in this issue? Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org to share your story in your community.